Also, how good it is to see everybody here, all of our guests. Good to see Tony with us tonight, and hadn't seen him in a day or two. Good to see you. Good to have Brother Bill Lowry here tonight. We're so thankful to see him. Let him know our prayers are with him. Amen. And just each one of you, thank you. You have blessed us by coming tonight, and we appreciate you being here. Romans chapter 8. And let's go down to verse number 31. And that's a good place just to launch from. I'm sorry, let me do verse 28. That's actually, I started working on a different message. And that's where I was going to read from. But we'll do that later. Because the other part of it grew. See, that's what's interesting about the word of the Lord. You think you know where you're going, and then all of a sudden the Lord says, why don't you go this way? Yeah. And I've learned when he says go this way, you better go that way. Because when you get up here and you've prepared the other way, you'll still go that way. But you're not prepared. And it's a lot harder. So he kind of took us a different direction tonight. So let me go to verse 28. Instead of verse 31. And but let's just read verse 28. And it said, and we know, everybody say we know. And that's what we're going to preach about. Some things that we know. Aren't you glad you know something tonight? Amen. There are some things that we know. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Our subject, some things that we know. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. John chapter 4, verse 22, and this is going to be an extensive Bible study, so I'm going to keep you flipping through the scriptures a whole lot here tonight. When we were young people, we used to have what we call sword drill. Anybody remember sword drills? Yeah, it was fun growing up. We had sword drills. We'd get up and use service, and they'd read a verse, and you had to be the first one to find it and then stand up and read it. And, of course, the Bible being our sword. So you wanted to keep your sword sharp and ready. Amen. And it was a fun process. And but we want to look in John 4:22. It said, Jesus speaking to a Samaritan woman, he said, you worship, you know not what. We know what we worship. So the first thing I want to talk about tonight that we know is we know what we worship. Hallelujah. Amen. I know what I worship tonight. Praise God. Paul went one day to a hill called Mars Hill outside of Athens. Not Athens, Texas. Athens, Greece. And he met a bunch of people there. And they had this altar, and it was made to the unknown God. Hallelujah. So they didn't really know what they were worshiping. He wasn't known to them. They worshiped so many gods, they didn't want to leave anybody out. So they built one altar to the unknown God. And Paul said, this unknown God, he said, that's the one I want to declare to you. Hallelujah. Amen. We know about the fishy gods. And we know about the sun gods and the moon gods. And the water gods and the sea gods and the sand gods and the rock gods and the bird gods and the bull gods. And we know all about all those kind of gods. He said, but I want to declare to you the unknown God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We know what we worship here tonight. Praise the Lord. I know that I worship one God. And I know that His name is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I know that He's the creator of the ends of the earth. And I know that in the fullness of time that He came and enrobed Himself in a physical body and lived a life that was free from sin and sacrificed that body and shed that blood so that I would have an opportunity for redemption. And then He washed away my sins in the beauty of His name through the waters of baptism. And He has filled me with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I received the Spirit that was in Jesus Christ. And it lives on the inside of me tonight. And I know what I worship. So it's good to know what you worship. Praise God. Hallelujah. And know that He's real. Know that He's genuine. And know that He's good. And He's good all the time. So we know tonight, beyond the shadow of a doubt, what we worship. Somebody said, is God real? Amen. Yeah, He's real. How do I know? Because He's living on the inside tonight. Praise God. Somebody asked a little boy, he was flying a kite on a cloudy day, and the cloud was covering his kite up in the air, and all the man could see was a string. And he said, son, he said, what are you doing? He said, I'm flying a kite. He said, I don't see no kite. He said, it's up there. He said, I can feel it tugging on the other end. Amen. How do I know there's a God? I can feel Him tugging on the other end. Hallelujah. And if you can't feel Him tugging, you may not know Him, but I know Him. I know what I believe. I know in whom I believe, and I know what we worship. Amen. Jesus told that little lady, He said, you don't know what you're worshiping, but we Jews, we know what we worship. Hallelujah. It's a good thing to know what you worship. John chapter 21, verse 24. This is the disciple which testified to these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. Amen. We know that his will, his testimony, is true. If there's one thing that I know, is I know that this is true. Praise God. How do I know? Because it has stood the test of time. There is no book that has been attacked like the Bible. It has been, you talk about a book that's been investigated. You talk about a book that has been burned, and a book that has been banned, and a book that has been censored, and a book that has been hated, and a book that has been inspected from cover to cover. Amen. And still it remains the Word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's actually a collection of books. It's 66 different books written by 40 different authors over a period of 1,500 years, and yet it's in agreement. I would challenge anybody, scour the libraries of the world and collect 66 books by 40 different authors that cover 1,500 years, and you find 66 of them that are in agreement. And you just won't do it. But this book, amen, it's a miracle book because it's the Word of God. The Bible says that holy men of God wrote as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Bible speaks about they were inspired. That means it was in-breathed. The Word of God was actually breathed into them. And they wrote as the Holy Ghost gave them utterance. And that's why it's always in agreement. From Genesis to Revelation, it's in agreement. Hallelujah. It's a miracle word. We know that His testimony is true. Praise the Lord. I went to a meeting one time of a guru, Maharaji. Maharaji was a miracle, a man of the a boy. He's actually 12 years old. And they worshiped him. And so we had a comparative religions class. And so I went to compare Maharaji with Jesus. There's no comparison. You know what he looked like? He looked like a 12-year-old boy. He was sitting up there on a pillow chewing bubble gum. And they had a big band going and lights flashing. And the air smelled real funny. A whole lot like Mary Jane. And boy, they were rocking and rolling down there. Under the influence of the weed. Amen. And he skipped town without paying his bill. Amen. He took a lot of people's money. And they didn't know what they were getting into. And let me tell you, you know what amazed me the most about it? Do you know what they were flashing on the screen the whole time? They were taking verses out of the Bible and twisting them. But anybody that knows the Word of the Lord knew what they were doing. They had the Word of God. But you see, the devil quotes the Bible, but he never gets it right. He cannot, because the Bible said the truth is not in him. So you can tell when the devil's lying. It's when his lips move. That's how you know. Because he cannot tell the truth. So they would take the Bible, and I knew it was the Bible because I was familiar with the verses, and yet they would twist them. Isn't it amazing that they always want to take the Word of God? You know why? The devil, he's not original. He's not a creator. He's an imitator. And that's all he can do. He doesn't come up with anything new. He cannot. Amen. And so we know that his testimony is true. Romans chapter 6, and we just read a portion of this. Let me back up a little bit. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 to verse 28. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not. Everybody say, we know not. Now, there's some things we don't know. And here it is. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Have you ever prayed and didn't know what in the world you're praying for? You knew you needed something, but you didn't know what you needed. You didn't know how to put it into words. You didn't really even know how to identify what the need was. We know not what to pray for sometimes. But listen, it said, but the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, make intercession for us with groanings and which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. So the Holy Ghost knows what to pray for. When we call this praying in the Spirit, when you begin to pray in the Holy Ghost and you let the Spirit of God take over and he begins to pray through you and you're speaking in tongues, you don't know what you're saying. It's bypassing your mind. But it's the Spirit making intercession. It's the Spirit talking to God. It's the Spirit communing with God, telling God what you don't know how to say, and asking God for the things according to his will that you don't know how to ask for. That's an amazing thing. Praise the Lord. That's why it's important to pray in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Because it said he maketh intercession for the saints according to the... And here's one thing we do know, that all things work together for good to them. Everybody say, all things work together. Not all things are good. Brother Neil said it correctly tonight. There are some bad things that happen to us. There are some bad people sometimes that come into our lives and cause us trouble. And that's not a good thing. Sickness is not a good thing. There's a lot of things that happen to us that are not good. But they work together for good. If we yield to the will of God, those things will produce good in our lives. Amen. I heard a testimony of a woman one time, and she stood up and she said, thank God for cancer. She said, I didn't know the Lord. I didn't want to know the Lord until I had cancer. And she said, suddenly I came to my senses and I realized that I was afraid to die. I wasn't ready to die, and I needed somebody to save me. And she said it was through that cancer that I found the Lord. Praise God. So that's how God can take something that's bad and use it to make something that's good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was talking to a man over here in the fellowship hall this evening, and he was giving a testimony about the hospital. They called him down to the emergency room because there was a man there that had just found out that he had cancer, and he was so afraid to die. He said, I need to talk to somebody. Amen. And he came and told him about the Lord. So God can take bad things in life and he can make good things come out of it. Praise the Lord. And so all things, we know. Everybody say, we know. It's not something we're guessing. When I'm in a bad situation, it's not going to stay bad. One of my favorite phrases in the Bible is, and it came to pass. It did not come to stay. Trouble doesn't come to stay in your life. It comes to pass in your life. The Bible says, yea, though we walk through, everybody say through, the valley of the shadow of death. Amen. You don't stay in the valley. He takes you through the valley. Amen. And nobody's ever been killed by a shadow anyway. A shadow can scare you, but it won't hurt you. I was a little boy one night, and a sound in my room and woke me up. My back was to the door, and I heard the door screech open. And the nightlight was on, and I saw this huge shadow on the wall. I was speechless. I couldn't say a word. I was so scared. And I was just laying there trembling. And I saw that hand reach out, and I just knew that any minute it was going to plunge a knife into my back, and it would be the end of my life. And about that time, my mom said, Johnny, it's time to take your medicine. It wasn't a knife, it was a spoon. That's as close as a shadow's ever come to killing me. If I'd have been older, I might have had a heart attack. Amen. But shadows don't hurt us, but they can scare us sometimes. Amen. If you've ever been in a place where you didn't know there was anybody else there, it can get scary. I was a night watchman outside of Athens for a while, and I went around and checked all these places, and I went in one night in one of the bathrooms, and there's nobody there but me. And I walked in, and I turned a corner, and there was a man standing there. Scared the daylights out of me. I had a gun. I reached for it. He reached for a gun. I pulled a gun. He pulled a gun. Then it was a mirror. It was me all the time. I almost shot myself. But it was a hair-raising experience there for a few minutes. But things work together for good. They work together for good. And that's the beauty of life. Now, it doesn't do that for everybody. It says work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. Some people, you see, they just get cancer and that's it. It's a sad thing because it's the end of life. There are others that through the medium and the horror of such a horrible disease, they're introduced to life in Jesus Christ. So everything doesn't work together. You've got to love God, and you've got to be called according to His purpose. In other words, you've got to yield to what God is trying to accomplish through your trouble. Amen. But when you do that, then His will is revealed and good comes into your life. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 4 said, as concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. So something we know, number one, is idols are nothing. Amen. That was Brother Billy Cole used to talk about people in Thailand where he was a missionary. And there was a certain place, there was a certain curve in a road, and people were just frightened to death to go there because they said, ooh, said there's gods that live there and people that go there die. Amen. Because the gods kill them when they go around that place. And he said, it'll be all right just going around. And they said, oh, no, we can't because that God will kill us. He said, it'll be all right. He said, my God will take care of us. He knew that idols are nothing. Amen. It didn't matter. They had great fear, but there was nothing to be fearful of. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, one of the missionaries told the story. He said that he was in a service, and it's a little hard. You got to have a lot of faith here to believe it, but I do believe it. He was in a service, and the witch doctor was there, and he actually run his finger down from the platform. There was a cloth hanging in the back, and he run his finger, and that cloth literally ripped from top to the bottom. And he said, now, you can you do that? And the spirit of boldness came upon the missionary. He said, no. He said, I can't. He said, that's all your God can do is tear stuff up. He said, my God's going to put it back together. And he just ran his finger up and it just went back together. And you see, when Moses met the soothsayers and the magicians of Pharaoh. It's a little scary, wasn't it? Because he goes up and he throws his rod down, it becomes a snake. And he said, let me see you do that. Well, they threw the rod down, it too also became a snake. And I'm sure Moses was thinking, now what? That wasn't supposed to happen. Amen. You're not supposed to be able to do that. I'm the only one that can do that. Amen. But the Lord said, I'm with you, Moses. And his went over and ate up the other two. He said, I'll take care of it. And so when you get yourself in a situation, don't be surprised if God lets some idol reveal itself. Amen. Because he may allow that. But if he does, hang on, hang in there, because he's going to do something greater. He always does. He's going to do something greater. Praise the Lord. Because he's the great God. Hallelujah. He's a God that can do all things. Amen. So we know that an idol is nothing in the world, but also we know that there's none other God but one. We know there's just one God. Hallelujah. I'm so glad for that tonight. I suppose it's for us almost something that we can take for granted, because our culture is so saturated with this. But there's so much Eastern influence coming in to the United States for the last 40, 50 years. Now there's Easternism and there's all kinds of ideas and religions that are out there that didn't exist a few years ago. Amen. So I don't know if you ever heard the testimony of Sister Vonnie Marshall, but my, what a testimony she has. Sister Marshall grew up and she was dedicated as a baby to a heathen temple. And her whole life was dedicated to learn intricate dances in the temple and intricate sensuous moves that would glorify the God that her parents served and that she served. Because she didn't know anything else. And she was dedicated. And she began to tell us about those things. And she was in the temple. And sickness came upon her body. And she didn't know what to do. And somebody told her about Jesus. And she didn't know anything about him. But in desperation she prayed and said, Jesus, if you're real, if there's anything to you, she said, if you'll heal my body, I'll serve you all the days of my life. And the Lord touched her and healed her body, praise the Lord, and revealed himself and filled her with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. What a powerful testimony she has and what a powerful relationship with God. And she found out that there's a real God. Hallelujah. Idols are nothing, but let me say that the devil sometimes uses them for his purpose. And so if an idol ever seems to have power, it has no power of itself. But an evil spirit can manifest itself through an idol. But if it does, you hang in there, because there's one God. Hallelujah. And he's the supreme God. He's the holy God. And we need not fear him. Praise the Lord. So we know that there's one God. Amen. 1 Corinthians 13:9 says, for we know in part. Everybody say in part. Now, we don't know it all yet. If you think you do, talk to me after service. I'll point a few things out. Maybe I didn't figure it out yet. Amen. Praise God. And so, we don't know everything. We know in part. We can know a lot. The Bible is full of things about God, but we still know in part. Amen. And we say this sometimes. I've heard people say, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask the Lord this and I'm going to ask the Lord that. Well, you won't have to, because then your knowledge is going to be complete. When you enter into his presence, every question is going to be answered. Amen. And then you will know. 2 Corinthians 5 and 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. There's one thing that we can know is this body's temporal. And maybe if you're young, you hadn't figured that out yet. But if you're very old at all, you'll know it's temporal. Amen. It gets wrinkled. You can iron them out if you want to. You can stretch them till you have your belly button in the center of your forehead. But still, this body's temporal. Amen. It's temporal. It's going to have aches. It's going to have pains. It's going to have problems. It's very temporal. Amen. Our sweet sister Lena Bell. Amen. Her body, it all dissolved a couple of days ago. Amen. But you know what? She knew one thing. Amen. That she had an eternal building in the heavens. This is the temporal right here. Thank God this is temporal. Amen. Praise God. You know, if you don't like the way you are right now, just hang on. It's going to get better. Praise God. It is. It's going to get better one of these days. Hallelujah. Amen. What is it? The songwriter said, I'll have a new body. Praise the Lord. I'll have a new life. Not wife. Life. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so he was, and it's true. We're going to have a new body. Praise God. And so we know that. We know that. It's good to take care of this tabernacle the best you can. Because you've got to live in it until he takes us home. So we do need to take care of it as best we can. We need to feed it right. We need to exercise it. We need to rest it. Amen. We need to take care of it. Not the Bible said that the body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And you know, I think God would want us to take care of his house. Right? Amen. If I'm the body and the temple of the Holy Ghost, I want to do my best to treat it right. I don't want to put things in here that are going to contaminate it. Jesus is in here. Praise the Lord. Amen. I read some years ago about a young lady that was standing before a firing squad because she was a Christian. They were getting ready to take her life. And they said, do you have any last requests? She said, yes. She said, shoot me in the head. Not in the heart, because Jesus lives in here. Praise God. When she said that, they couldn't shoot her anywhere, and they let her go. Amen. But I'm just saying tonight that we need to take care of the physical body, because this is the temple of the Holy Ghost. But it's going to be dissolved. Don't fall too in love with this body. We live in a culture today that is absolutely possessed with the idea of physical beauty. And they worship this temple. And that's wrong, to take it to that extent. And it's a fallacy, folks, because every human body deteriorates with time. You look at all the great beauty queens and all of the Hollywood hunks of the past, and when they get past a certain age, you can only patch them up so much. You can only stretch them so much. You can use all the filler you want to, but after a while, it don't do any good. Amen. It's a fallacy to worship this physical body. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so it will dissolve. But we know one thing, that we have a building of God, hallelujah, that is eternal in the heavens. Praise God. A house not made with hands. Hallelujah. 1 John 2 and 3 said, hereby we do know that we know Him. That's pretty good. Isn't it? If there's one thing I know that I know Him. Hallelujah. Amen. It's good to know that you know God. And it's good to know that you are known of God. Well, how do you know God? He said, if you keep His commandments. If you don't keep His commandments, you don't really know Him. Praise the Lord. That's how we prove that we know Him. And we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. 1 John 2:18, little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard, the Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. There's one thing that we know, this is the last time. This is it. It has already been prophesied. These are the last days. I know that John wrote that almost 2,000 years ago, and we are in the last dispensation of time. And at the end of this age, Jesus Christ is going to come again and receive us unto himself. This is the last time. And if it, John wrote it 2,000 years ago and he thought it was the last time then, I think it's really the last time now. Amen. It's much closer than when we first believed. Don't let anybody wear out your belief. Praise God. Amen. And so he is coming, and there are many antichrists today. Do you know what the word antichrist means? It means against Christ. In the United States of America, we are creating a culture that's against Christ. This nation is more anti-Christian than it has ever been before. In our military, you can pray in the name of God all you want to. You can pray in the name of Allah. You can pray in the name of Krishna. You can pray in the name of anybody you want to. But don't you say Jesus. You'll be in trouble. They'll snatch you out of there so quick it'll cause your head to swim. In school, you can talk about others. I was reading today that in Vanderbilt University, they're going to make Christians stop teaching on campus. They can't gather anymore. No more Christian gatherings. Other groups can gather, but not Christians. Of course, it'll wind up in the Supreme Court, because that's our right as Americans. Amen. And they took the Bible and God out of the classroom in 1961, and it's been downhill ever since then. In 1961, you didn't have to go through one of those security machines to get into a school. You didn't have to hand out condoms in school. You didn't have to have dogs sniffing lockers and doing drug checks in school. You didn't have to worry about somebody bringing a gun. Matter of fact, the parking lot was probably full of them. Every good redneck boy had a gun rack in his pickup with a gun on it. Probably had a pocket knife in his pocket. But you didn't have to worry anybody killing anybody, because God was in our classroom, and he was in many hearts. Amen. But when we ban God, now we've got what we have. When God's not there, we have darkness, we have ignorance, we have violence. Amen. You ban God, that's okay. You know what hell's going to be? It's just going to be where God is not. That's all. It's just when hell is when God removes himself totally from the picture. God is light, so hell is darkness. God is truth, so hell is error. Amen. God is healing, hell is pain. God is life, hell is death. It's just when God separates himself. And it's a dangerous thing when God withdraws himself. And so that we know that these are the last times. Amen. And it's not going to be long before he's going to separate the two. It's just going to simply be that. God's going to say, you believe me, you love me, you come on up here with me. You don't want me, you reject me, you've decided you don't need me, then you just stay there. And God's just going to separate two worlds. One will be heaven, and one will be hell. One will be with God, one will be without God. I've heard people talk about partying in hell. Let me tell you something, there won't be any parties in hell. I've heard people say, I'd rather reign with the devil than serve Christ. There's not going to be any reigning in hell. The devil himself's not going to be reigning. His kingdom's going to be ripped. And it's just going to be a place of eternal suffering. and all these foolish ideas that are propagated in silly heads by people that are antichrist. It's a tragedy. Amen. But I'm glad that I know the truth today. I know there's a heaven to gain. I know there's a hell to shun. I know there's a God that will save me. And if I reject Him, then I will be doomed and damned to a place in separation eternally from God. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know, here's another no. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. But we shall see Him as He is. That's one thing I know. I know that one of these days, praise the Lord, that this mortal is going to put on immortality. And this corruption is going to put on incorruption. Amen. And I'm going to be with the Lord. I know that's going to happen. I don't know what day that's going to happen. I don't know the moment in time that's going to happen, but I know that it will happen. So we know that we shall be like Him. And when He appears, we're going to be transformed. That's what the Bible teaches, isn't it? Amen. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the trump is going to sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive shall be caught up to meet them in the clouds to be with the Lord. Amen. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And the Scripture says, comfort one another with these words. Amen. So we need to remind ourselves often that we know that we're going to be called out of here. Hallelujah. And we're going to be like Him. And 1 John chapter 3, verse 14, we know that we have passed, and love this, listen to the word order, we have passed from death unto life. Now the natural process, and this is what we see around us all the time, every day, we see people that pass from life unto death. But John said, we have passed from death unto life. What does that mean? The Bible said, Paul writing, he said, we were dead in trespasses and sins. But when you receive the Spirit of Jesus Christ, you receive life. Hallelujah. You receive eternal life. Now, this body may perish, but my life in Jesus Christ is going to live on, and one of these days He's going to resurrect the body also. Praise God. So you see, we have passed from death, which is our sinful life, and that death is sin. The Bible said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And so we pass from death unto life. And so now we live because Jesus Christ lives in us. Hallelujah. So we have passed from death unto life. We know that. And I know that's happened to me. Praise the Lord. 1 John chapter 3, verse 19. Hereby we know that we are of the truth. Do you know that you're of the truth tonight? Amen. I want to love truth. I want to cling to the truth. I want to buy the truth and sell it not. I want to hold on to truth. I want to understand the value of truth. The Bible said that we must love the truth. Amen. Because there are some people that will be deceived because they love not the truth. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you, we're living in a culture right now that'll try to confuse you if they can. They'll try to condemn you and shame you and intimidate you. Well, how do you know what you know the truth? What gives you the right to say what you know is the truth? What I believe is not the truth. Who made you the judge? Well, I'm not judging. I'm just saying I know the truth. Amen. And I'm not going to change what I know. Because I know that I know, and I know what I know is the truth. And I'm not going to trade it for anything else. Amen. If you want to believe Confucius' truth, then he said he was looking for it. He didn't say he ever found it. But Jesus said, I am the truth. Buddha didn't claim to be truth. He claimed to be seeking truth. But Jesus said, I am the truth. Muhammad was a man. He didn't claim to be the truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. Amen. And so I don't know but what others may say, but I'll tell you what. I know the truth, and I know the truth, and I'm going to hold on to the truth. Some people say, well, you know, everybody has their own truth. We'll see. Amen. Praise God. But I know truth, and I'm not going to change what I know, because I know what it's done for Johnny Grissom. Praise God. I know what I was, I know what I am, and I am what I am by the grace of God. Praise the Lord. 1 John chapter 3, verse 24, and he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and hereby we know that he abideth in us. If there's one thing I know, it's that Jesus lives in me. Anybody know that he's in there tonight? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. That's one thing I know. That's one thing I make sure of every day. That's one thing I make sure of throughout the day. And in the night, Lord, I want to know you're still in there. Are you still there? Amen. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. I know that he abides. That means he lives in us. Praise God. When you invited him in, he came, and he's going to stay there. Amen. So we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. That's how you know that you have the Lord. 1 John 5 and 2 said, we know that we love the children of God. Do you love the children of God? Amen. Do you know that you love the children of God? Let me ask you this. Do you love all the children of God? Woo, Brother Grissom, don't get so personal now. Huh? I said, do you love all the children of God? You know, you want me to pick on that a little bit? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, one thing is if we decide we don't want to like somebody, we just decide that they're not a child of God. Then that gives us the right to pick on them, right? Wrong. Amen. Praise the Lord. Boy, that's tricky stuff, isn't it? By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. The Bible says, it speaks of the love of God shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. That's how you love people. If you have the Holy Ghost and the Holy Ghost has you, you'll love people. You will love people because God loves people. And God loves people through you. And if you don't love people, you need to check some things out in your life. That's a real good indication that something's slipping. Amen. Praise the Lord. And that we need to get some things right. 1 John chapter 5, 15. And if we know that he hear us, everybody say if. If we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that what we have the petitions that we desire of him. We know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. See, that's how faith operates. Amen. We know that he hears us. Anybody believe the Lord hears you? Amen. I believe he hears us. And we have the petitions that we ask of him. Do you know how to pray the will of God? Amen. First of all, God puts in our hearts, in the spiritual atmosphere, things that we need to pray for. And then when we pray those things, those are prayers that God can answer. The Bible said some prayers are not answered. You know why they're not? He said, because we ask amiss. We ask for the wrong reasons. We ask selfishly. Amen. If I ask God for $1 million, that's going to be kind of a selfish prayer. Right? That's probably kind of a selfish prayer. And why do I need $1 million? Honestly. Amen. I've heard people say, well, you know, if I had $1 million, I sure would help the church. But let me just from experience say, I've observed a few people get their $1 million. And you know what? I've yet to see one of them do what they said they were going to do. We prayed and worked with a lady months. No, a couple of years. Helped and prayed and counseled and loved and did everything we could do. And she got not just one, but several $1 million in a lawsuit. And it was the last time we saw her. What happened to all that help in the Lord? What happened to all that help in the church? I know three other families that also received huge settlements as well. And you know how much the church got out of that? $100. So this idea of people saying, oh, if God will just bless me and give me $1 million. If I just had $1 million. If I can just win the lottery. You better not be playing the lottery. But if I win, I'm going to give it all to God. No, you're not. No, you're not. Because that's the wrong reason. It's the wrong reason. Selfishness. God knows what's at the core of our prayers, doesn't He? So if you pray and you don't get an answer, it's because God knows something's wrong when you pray. You prayed for the wrong reason. You have the wrong motive. And God loves you enough not to answer your prayer. Praise the Lord. That's good, Brother Grissom. I'm glad you told me that tonight. That's not what I wanted to hear, but that's what I needed to hear. So God knows the motive when you pray. Not just He doesn't just hear your lips moving and hear your voice. He knows your heart. But if our hearts are in line with the will of God, then He can give us what we ask for. Amen. Praise the Lord. In verse 1 John chapter 5, and we're going to conclude here, 18 to 20. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Amen. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know Him that is true, and in Him, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Amen. So whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Now the word sinneth means in a continual sense. It is sin can be a state of being. Some people live in a state of sin. We all did before Jesus Christ. We lived in a continual state of sin. It was our lifestyle. And it's what we always did. After you come to Jesus Christ, you may still sin. And most likely you will. Somebody told me one time they'd never sinned since they got the Holy Ghost. And they just did because they lied. Amen. Yes, everybody. We don't like to call them sins. We call them shortcomings. Faults. Some of them are just flat old sins. There are sins of the flesh, and there are sins of the spirit. Why is it that we judge the sins of the flesh so much more harshly than the sins of the spirit? Why is it that if people come to church, we're quick to condemn them if they don't line up with our standards and what we think, and we'll actually run them off if they don't line up within a very short time? But we'll put up with old ugly, filthy spirits for years. Boy, that's tough, Brother Grissom, but that's the truth. That's one of the things we know. Don't look so serious. Amen. I'm just telling you the truth here tonight. I'm not trying to hurt anybody. But it's a fact. It's a fact. You know, I've watched people You know, if somebody's skirt wasn't long enough, or their hair wasn't short enough, or their hair was too short, or whatever else, you know, they'd make it hard on them and run them off because they didn't line up. But that old judgmental spirit, they've had that for years. Which is worse? They're both sins. There are certain things that are sins, and yet sins of the flesh, we want to get rid of that right now. We'll gossip and talk about people. Woo! My goodness, we're preaching up here tonight. I think I'll just shout a little bit. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. God help us not just to deal with sins of the flesh. Help us to deal with sins of the Spirit also. Amen. Help us to deal with self-righteousness. Help us to deal with spiritual pride. Amen. Help us to deal with our own blindness sometimes. Praise God. And our own carnality. Praise God. Help us to deal righteously and rightly. Amen. Because I know that as a Christian, we don't live in a lifestyle of sin. Amen. But when we mess up, we just repent. Because you see, that's, to me, that's what tells me that we're real Christians. Before I came to God, I sinned because I was a sinner. And quite frankly, I liked it. Sinners enjoy sin. They don't feel bad about it. They like it. They can't wait to Friday to go do it again. All weekend long. Amen. This is great, isn't it? They love it. But once you are convicted of sin and you find out that the way you've been living is not good for you and it's not good for God, and you decide to go God's way and you change your life and you repent of your sin, and if you fall back into that, you feel bad about it. That's how you know you have the Spirit of God. The same things you used to enjoy. Paul said it this way. He said, the things I used to hate, now I love. The things I used to love, now I hate. Made a change in his life. So once you receive the Lord into your life, you cannot go back and live the way you used to live. You can't be happy doing that anymore. Amen. And it's a good thing. I tell you what, I'd trade all that stuff for peace and joy and righteousness in a heartbeat. I did, and I plan to keep it. And one of the ways I know that I displease God is because it disturbs my peace. I don't feel right. I feel disturbed. Amen. My peace is not there. And my joy is not there. And I think, well, wait a minute, what's wrong? And then I look at what I said and look at what I did, and I say, oops, I'm sorry, Lord. Forgive me. Amen. I want that peace and that joy. And I want to live in righteousness. Let's stand together. This is real, folks. This is not something cooked up. It's not something man-made. It's not just a religion that somebody figured and wrote down a bunch of rules in a book. This is real. This is genuine. Praise God. You can know that you know. Amen. And I'm so thankful tonight that there are some things in the Scripture that we know for sure. Amen. I know that I was lost. And I know that Jesus came. And I know the change in my life when He came inside. And I know that for the last 44 years or so, it's been wonderful living for the Lord. I know that. I know that. Praise God. You see, as a Christian, I know what it's like on the outside, on the other side, and I know what it's like on this side. Because I lived there, and I've lived here. And my experience is that this side's just a whole lot better. There's not any walls around this church that make people stay here. Nobody made you come here tonight. Those of you that have been coming so faithfully for so many years, nobody makes you do that. You don't have to. Somebody said, try Jesus. If you don't like it, the devil will take you back. And I guess there's some truth to that. Amen. But most people that find Jesus Christ, amen, find it's real and they're going to stay with it. Amen. I'm here tonight because I want to be. I want to be. Dan Dean wrote song years ago. It said, I choose to be a Christian. I choose to live like Him. Amen. Nobody's making me do it. This is the way that I choose to live. Amen. It's all about a choice tonight. I know. I know what I was. I know what I am. I know where I was. I know where I am now. And I know where I'm going. And I thank God for some things that I know. Praise the Lord. Do you know the Lord tonight? Would you like to have Him in your life? He'll come if you'll invite Him. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open, I will come into him, sup with him, he with me. Amen. So if you'll open the door, He'll come in. Praise God. He'll fill you with His Holy Spirit. Amen. Life and love and joy and peace and righteousness. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Let me see tonight and open this opportunity for prayer. There's an altar here where you can meet with God. A place that you can turn your life over. Give Him all of your habits and all of your sins and all of your problems. And let Him resolve them for you. Amen. Trade Him all of your troubles for His peace. Amen. Let me offer you that opportunity. Praise God. It'd be good if we'd come and just respond to the word of the Lord tonight. Would anybody step out and just come and say, Lord, I'm so glad I know some things. I'm so glad that I know You. Amen. I choose You. I choose to follow You. I choose to live for You. I choose to give my life to You. I choose You every day. Every morning when I get out of my bed, I choose You, Jesus. Before I walk out of my house to greet the day, I choose You. Decisions that I make on the job, when I'm faced with temptations and trials and troubles, I choose You, Jesus, because I know it's the right thing to do. I know that I'm going to have some troubles, but I know also that I'm not alone. You'll help me. You'll be there. And we'll face our troubles together. Amen. We'll walk through life's difficulties together, hand in hand. Hallelujah. Hand in hand, we walk each day. Hand in hand, along the way, and walking thus, I cannot stray. Walking hand in hand with Jesus, hand in hand, we walk each day, hand in hand, alone. Each day, hand in heaven along the way, walking thus, I cannot stray. Hand in hand with Jesus, oh Jesus, hold my hand. Oh Lord, I need you every hour. Through this pilgrim land, protect me by thy power. Hear my feeble plea. Oh Lord, look down on me when I kneel in prayer. I hope to meet you there, blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Oh, Jesus, hold my hand. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you for your attention tonight and your time invested in the Word of the Lord. Amen. Remember, the Dollar Day is coming up Saturday. We'll need some help setting some things up on Friday. If you can meet us here and help us with that. If you have any garage sale items that you haven't brought, there's still plenty of room over there for stuff. So if you got any stuff you want to get rid of, bring it, and we'll help you get rid of it. Amen. All right. Let's stand together. Amen. Turn around and give somebody a big old smile and a handshake and a hug. Amen. And God bless you in Jesus' name. I think we're going to meet about between around 6 or 7, just when you can get here, 6 o'clock. No, evening. Yeah, we'll need to be here in the evening. We can't. Most folks going to be working in the daytime, so if you can help, we appreciate it. Thank you. The Lord bless you.